This is News Talk.
Obviously level three on all the front pages. It's interesting, two stories kind of emerging on the front pages. One is the gamble that the papers say the government is taking in not accepting NPHET's advice. And secondly is the extraordinary comments from Tánaiste de Leo Varadkar and Claire Byrne's show last night, and sort of the first time we've seen such direct criticism of NPHET. So we'll begin with the Irish Examiner. Martin gambles on level three to halt surge, and the Irish Examiner saying that Micheál Martin is putting his reputation as Taoiseach on the line and that of his government on Ireland withstanding a second wave of COVID-19. Micheál Martin saying the government would reject the public health advice from NPHET and put the country in level three of restrictions instead of level five, which obviously was requested by Dr. Tony Houlihan there. Under the announcement, visitors to homes will be capped at six from one other household. People should remain in their county unless their travel is essential, and workers are asked to stay at home as much as possible. Now, Health Minister Stephen Donnelly will be on News Talk Breakfast. He's quoted widely across the newspapers this morning. The Examiner uses the quote that the virus is responsible for what happens next in the coming weeks. And that basically he's saying the only enemy is COVID-19. That's what we're fighting. It's not a question of who's right and who's wrong. That was responding to questions about, well, what if you're wrong? Who'll take the flak here? Is it the government or NPHET? So Stephen Donnelly says no one's sort of right or wrong. It's all about the virus. Then you go to the front of the Irish Daily Mail, and Leo Varadkar and Claire Byrne giving a withering rebuke to NPHET and Dr. Tony Houlihan and their decision to surprise the government with a recommendation to move to level three. Leo Varadkar says the NPHET made its decision late on Sunday without prior consultation with the government. He didn't feel NPHET's move to issue the alert for a full lockdown had been thought through properly. Like, that sentence in itself is extraordinary, to have the Tánaiste saying that NPHET isn't thinking through properly a recommendation it's giving to government. And on Claire Byrne Live last night, Leo Varadkar said NPHET's advice on Sunday came out of the blue and should not have happened. And he was asked by Claire Byrne, in case you missed it, that it sounded like he didn't have confidence in Dr. Tony Houlihan. And Leo Varadkar replied about the NPHET advice: it wasn't good for anyone, it wasn't good for government, it wasn't good for the country. We thought that wasn't the right way to do things, to land something like this on a Sunday night. Go on to the Irish Daily Mirror. Tánaiste Leo Varadkar launched a blistering attack on Chief Medical Officer Dr. Tony Houlihan last night. The headline on the Mirror: Dr. No. And the Irish Independent: trust between government and NPHET hit an all-time low as the Taoiseach faced down a shock demand to push the country to the highest level of lockdown. The Irish Independent says that there was a tense meeting between ministers and Dr. Tony Houlihan, and apparently he faced a barrage of criticism from senior ministers. And the Irish Independent says the relationship between NPHET and the government has now changed forever. One government source said NPHET was all about protecting normal hospital activity, maybe schools and childcare, but the private sector was being sacrificed. It's easy for 40 well-heeled public servants to put 400,000 people out of their jobs while they don't lose a penny, according to this government source. You know, it's kind of, it would seem like what the government decided to do yesterday was remind NPHET, we're the ones in charge. We run the country, you give us the advice. And it is a marked difference in the response to a recommendation from NPHET. Leo Varadkar also saying in Claire Byrne last night, it won't happen again. What happened Sunday night, that type of NPHET advice bringing sprung on the government, just will not happen again. Finally, the Irish Times on this particular story to do with COVID-19 and level three. The Irish Times reminds us that there are 31 outbreaks now in nursing homes, 25 in settings catering for vulnerable groups, like travellers, the homeless and direct provision centres. This is all in a letter, which you heard about in the news at 6 o'clock there, which the Chief Medical Officer sent to the Minister for Health. And it's sort of a reminder in stark terms from NPHET about the situation in this country. The Irish Times understands that in its own deliberations, NPHET officials dismissed level three because they believed that while it might slow the growth of infections, it wouldn't be sufficient to stop it. Now we move on. A couple of sort of leaks and things to do with the budget, which is, by the way, next week, just in case you'd forgotten that. It's kind of crept up on us. Not as much kite flying this year about the budget as in previous years because we're all busy with something else. But the Irish Examiner, Daniel McConnell, telling us here that the government will announce announce a plan on Budget Day to force local authorities to build up to 9,000 homes next year. And this is a big difference because, as you're probably aware, recently we've had a situation where the councils maybe get voluntary housing associations or different groups to build houses for them. But now the government apparently wants the councils to build them themselves. And under the Rebuilding Ireland plan, the number of newly built homes is starting from a very low base of just under 2,000 in 2016. But the Housing Minister, Dara O'Brien, and Public Expenditure Minister, Michael McGrath, want to move away from so-called turnkey acquisitions and get the councils to build their own houses themselves. Interesting to see how that one plays out and the response of councils, and will they welcome that or will they call for more resources? Also to do with the budget, this is in the Mail. The price of a packet of fags could go up to €20. This is according to the Irish Heart Foundation. Now, I say could go up. This is what the Irish Heart Foundation want, that a packet of cigarettes should go up by up to €20. This is over the next 5 years. Such a hike would add almost 50% to the current €13.50 price for most brands. But the Irish Heart Foundation says that it's needed to protect young people from nicotine addiction. Let me know your thoughts on that. 53106. Good idea, bad idea. They're also calling for an excise of 6 cents per millilitre of e-cigarette liquid. So for those who vape, that could go up by six cents per millilitre if the Irish Heart Foundation was to get its way. Irish Examiner, 3 in 5 consumers with health insurance are paying far more than they need to. And apparently we're losing, if you have health insurance, €500 on average, needlessly going out of a bank balance every year. This is research from totalhealthcover.ie, and it found that a misguided sense of loyalty to health insurance providers is among the main reasons for customers sticking with their plans. I'm 100% guilty of this. It only happened to me recently when I went to renew, got my quote with the company I was with, and I just said, I cannot be bothered ringing around, going online, all that stuff. And I just said, I'll just renew it. Very, very lazy. And I'm probably suffering as a result. And basically the warning is, don't let fear of change or inertia hold you back, because saving between €500 and €1,000 on your health insurance bill, it's a lot of money. You know, as the Examiner says this morning, it could cover your car insurance, your home insurance, things like that. So certainly don't be wasting the money. Now, this is an interesting story. It's from the Road Safety Authority. It's in a couple of the papers, including the Herald this morning. And it's a warning about the dangers of driver fatigue. And, you know, for a lot of you listening this morning, you know, we're all early risers. We're up at this hour of the morning. It's something that we could have experience of with this sort of being tired while behind the wheel. And the research shows that 1 in 4 of us have struggled to keep our eyes open and stay awake while behind the wheel. And 1 in 4 Irish motorists admitted struggling to stay awake behind the wheel, and 1 in 6 have actually fallen asleep behind the wheel. And we did cover driver fatigue on the show yesterday, and just the findings are just really, really startling there. And what they're saying is it usually happens in the early hours of the morning or in the mid-afternoon. A driver is typically alone and uninteresting drives on motorways, driving in demanding conditions like heavy traffic and bad weather, and sleep deprivation can all make a driver fatigued. Something to consider, but obviously not that easy for some people to get sleep as well. So it's not as easy as saying you must sleep more, because some people just can't sleep. Now, the Irish Times, I don't know if you saw some of this going on online yesterday, panic buying in toy stores. But toys, according to Connor Pope, are becoming the new toilet paper if the queues outside some of the largest toy shops in the country yesterday morning were any indication. And it seems like people were panicking about lockdown here and were sort of thinking ahead to the big C in December and wondering, what are we going to do about Santa? And there was a big scramble yesterday for people to get organised for Christmas. Shelves weren't stripped bare as they were during the toilet paper shortages, but demand for toys definitely spiked. Smith's toys shops around the country were much busier than normal. Long queues at outlets and retail parks in Dublin and Cork. And as Conor Pope says, before midday on Monday, dozens of anxious-looking parents were standing in line waiting to get into the shop in Carrick Mines in Dublin. There were long queues at some of the pay points in some of the Smith's toy stores as well. Now, just in case you are worried or panicked or anything like that, in a statement, Smith's moved to reassure customers there was no need to be concerned. They have good levels of stock with more arriving each week. So don't panic and obviously observe social distancing and everything like that. I have to say, and it's good to get this statement from Smith's, because I did hear a rumour on WhatsApp, which you should never believe the stuff that's sent around on WhatsApp, but I did hear a rumour that people were panicking and that there was this sort of word going around that there are issues with toys coming in from China because of the pandemic, and that toys could run out and there could be lots of disappointed children. Good to see that statement from Smith's. Clearly not the case. Now, final story for you, and this blew my mind this morning, and if you're a dog lover, you might be very disappointed to hear this, because the next time a dog gives you a soppy look, don't be fooled. As far as the deep workings of the canine brain are concerned, it may as well be staring at the back of your head. This is in the Times of London. And it's basically saying that the brain of a dog doesn't recognise faces. So you know when you get home after a long day and you get this big greeting at the door and you think that your dog is absolutely obsessed with you? Well, they are, probably, but they're not looking at your face. And it's just really interesting research there. They found that dogs struggle to recognise their owners from their faces. Instead, they appear to rely on smell and sound. And in one previous experiment, 8 out of 10 dogs couldn't discriminate between their owner's face and that of a stranger. And when the dogs, so basically they got a load of dogs into a room and hooked them up to these MRI machines. And when the dogs were shown images of faces, their brains were no more active than when they were shown the back of somebody's head. So your dog may as well not even be looking at you. Just extraordinary there. That's in the Times of London this morning. Anyway, that's our look at the morning papers.
On 106 to 108 FM and at newstalk.com. This is Newstalk.